tell you, I love you guys. I do. I just want you to take a minute, and I want you to turn and see the person behind you and get to know their name, and the person in front of you, and the person to your left and right. I have a reason. Behind you, in front of you, your left and right. Make sure you get their names. Okay. All right. Now, the reason I did that is because at Fourth Presbyterian Church, where I grew up, Dr. Halverson would have us do that in the worship service. Meet the person behind you, the person in front of you, the person on your left, and your person on the right. And then he did what I'm about to do. Will you join me in prayer, please? Lord, thank you that we're here. And you're here, just as Tim reminded us, because we're gathered in your name. So we praise you and thank you. We've already had the privilege of prayer, but now we pray for the person in front of us. Lord, bless them. Make them a blessing to everyone they touch. Bless the person behind you, the one you greeted this morning. Fill them with your spirit. Bless them and make them a blessing to everyone they touch. Pray for the person on your right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that they're here with you in this place at this time. Lord, bless them and make them a blessing. The person on our left, fill them with your spirit, bless them, make them a blessing, and bless them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that great? You got prayed for today. Now, I had this handed out. I know you need, why does he do this? Well, you know something. If you just listen to a lecture, you remember about 10%. If you listen to a lecture and you read something, you'll remember about 40%, maybe 35 or 40. If you listen to the lecture, you take something home with you and read it, you'll remember about 60 or 70%. And if you share it with somebody, you'll remember about 90%. So just know that we sit in front of a sermon, and next week we'll ask you what was the title of the sermon and how many of you will remember, right? Well, I was studying Greek in seminary, and I had a lexicon out, and I noticed something that I've never seen before, and it jumped off the page to me. The first passage I want you to see, let me get this. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the what?
Equipping.
The saints, equipping the saints, katartismos, equipping the saints for works of service to build up the body of Christ. So before I go to the next slide, I want you to know the ministry is yours. It's not Tim's. It's not Junior's. It's not mine. It's not your staff's. The ministry is yours. God has ordained you just as much as he's ordained me and put you right where he's put you because he wants to minister through you to the people around you. He puts you in your neighborhood. He puts you in your family. He puts you in your friendship groups. He put you a lot of places, didn't he? He's equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. By the way, you're a saint. Do you know that? You didn't have to be declared by a pope or anybody. You are a saint. Not of your own doing, but of Jesus Christ's doing. Because Jesus Christ has given you his very life, all of a sudden now, you're no longer your own, you're his. Second, going from there, he saw two brothers, James and the son of Zebedee and John, his brothers, in the boat with Zebedee and their father. What? Preparing their nets. Katartismos. Wow. So what's the lesson here? First of all, you need to understand, you would not have one clue about the connection between these two. Every Jew and every Greek in that day knew exactly what katartismos meant for a net. They knew exactly what a fisherman would do. And when they heard catechismos of themselves, all of a sudden this analogy comes through that now you're talking about me. And so he says this. What happened at the fall? What happened when Adam and Eve broke, you know, ate the fruit? What happened? Four relationships were broken. Our relationship with God was broken. Our relationship with ourselves was broken. Our relationship with others was broken. Our relationship with the world was broken. And God knows that. And God loves you enough to meet you right where you are, as broken as you are. And in my Tuesday morning men's Bible study, we just said we're all a bunch of scumbags. Do you know that? You're a bunch of scumbags. I love you, but I'm a scumbag. You're a scumbag. We're all broken. We're all fallen. We desperately need Jesus Christ because not only was our relationship with God broken, our relationship with ourselves was broken. And our relationship with others was broken. And our relationship with the world was broken. But God knows that. And God meets us right there. And so, he's preparing and equipping nets, right? Catechismos. And he's preparing and equipping saints. So I brought this. My wife reminded me this morning, get this. What is this? It's a net. You are the net. Now understand this. You are the net that God is casting into the world. This whole thing this morning is talking to you about the fact that we are the net. And so when we talk about cleaning nets, we talk about things like that, we're talking about ourselves. He's also equipping saints, catechismos, saints and catechismosing nets. We are the net God's casting into the world. We are the net. We're related to one another. We're not isolated. We're not doing this solo. We need one another. I always talk to my guys on Tuesday morning. I said, you know, if Jesus needed Peter, James, and John when he faced the hardest things in his life, and he's the Son of God, do you think we need each other? Do we need friends? Do we need people connecting with us? That's why this is such a wonderful class. How many of you know about five other people in this class? How many of you? Look at all those hands go up. Why? Because God put you in relationship with one another. And he did it purposefully. He did not put you here to be solo. At least have, if you're Lone Ranger, get a Tonto. Okay? Get somebody to go through this with you. And so, cleaning the nets. The first thing they did when they brought a net back in from fishing. It was full of junk. I mean, it had gotten not only fish in it, a lot of junk, right? So they had to go and they had to clean the net out. Get all the junk out of the net. If we're the net, guess what? We got junk in our lives, don't we? Did Tim remind us this morning? He puts his finger on it, doesn't he? Now just think for a minute. Where has he put his finger in your life? I can tell you one place he keeps putting my finger in my life. My precious bride is sitting over there. Every time she criticizes me, little boy Pat rises up and gets defensive. Because my dad criticized me all the time I was growing up. And I work on it. She knows I work on it. But it's there. And I keep throwing it out and it comes back. It's like a boomerang. You know, do you ever have anything you confess to God and 3 weeks later you're confessing it again? Cleaning the nets, right? Getting the junk out of our lives. Restoring our broken relationship with God. Well, how does this happen? Hope I'm doing this right. Yeah. If we what? He's what? Just to what? Forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. He wants you to deal with your junk. He wants you to deal with your net. And he wants you to understand that you never stop doing it. You do it for the rest of your days. You're always waking up in the morning broken. You need him. Confess him. Confess. He's faithful and just, and he will forgive you from all unrighteousness. But God knew this. So when I taught on the fruit of the Spirit, there's a vertical set of fruit, I call them. The love of God, the joy of the Lord, and the peace of Christ that God sent down from him to us. Why? Because he wants to heal his relationship with us. He knows how broken you are. He knows how needy you are. And he knows that the only way this is going to happen is by that Holy Spirit that came into your life when you believed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. And hearing the gospel of your salvation and believing, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So God put his Spirit inside of you, and he has given you the love of God for yourself, for your spouse, for your friends, for your neighbor, for your enemies. It's God's love. It's his joy. You know, joy is not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings, happenstances. Joy is something inside out. It's something that God has given you that you can share with others. And I always pray when I take Jay to work, I pray that he would just have a contagious joy. So everyone touches him would be joy, have a contagious joy of Jesus. And he's given us peace of Christ because he knows how broken we are. But they mended their nets. Then they found out, oh, this net was dragging along the bottom and it got holes in it. There are holes in the net. So what did they do? They had to go and mend the net so that the holes wouldn't be there in the net. So that's, think about this for just a moment. It's restoring our brokenness with ourselves. You have holes in your life. You have brokenness in your life. And by the way, this is just came to me when I taught this way back. All of a sudden I thought this thought I never thought. It's fun. Do you know, if you don't deal with the holes in your net, the people you're trying to catch will go right through your hole. Do you hear that? If you don't deal with the holes in your life, the people you're trying to share Jesus with will find your hole and swim right through it. That's why we need to deal with our brokenness, ourselves, restoring the brokenness of ourselves. And so God knows this. So you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off what? Your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. And put on what? Created to be like God in true righteousness. You were created to be like God. Did you hear that? So when people see you, they see Jesus. You know, some of you know this, when you taught my class, come to my class, I pray this prayer with Jay and every time I take in the word. Holy Spirit of God that lives in Jay, live through Jay this day. Every word that he speaks, every action he takes, every attitude he reflects, be Jesus. So when they see Jay, they see Jesus. That's what he's talking about, the new self that is God in true righteousness, to be like God. So God gave us an inward fruit. Fruit that heals us, heals our inward brokenness. Three things he gives us: gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are fruit of what? What? Say it, I want to hear it. What? It's not a fruit of self. It's not a fruit of yourself. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the God Spirit living in you, living through you. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. How many of you need to be more faithful? How many of you need to be more self-controlled? Do you know something? He's given you his Holy Spirit because he knows the hole in our life and he knows how broken we are. And so, he folds the net. I mean, think about that for just a minute. They've cleaned the net. They've mended the net. And then they take the net and very carefully, perfectly fold the net. So that when the fisherman goes out and casts that net off the side of the boat, it goes out in a perfect arc. Now, if you haven't dealt with the junk in the net, you think the net's going to go out perfectly? Is it? No, it's going to get all tangled up in your stuff. Your scumbag stuff. Right? It's going to get caught up in that, isn't it? So he wants us to have unbroken relationships with one another. And that's what happens when he folded the net. He has folded you in with other Christians. He's folded you in so that you're not this solo person trying to do the Christian life all by yourself. No. I have been put in relationship lovingly, wonderfully with a bunch of Tuesday morning men. They hold me accountable. I hold them accountable. By the way, we are scumbags. We are. Jim can tell you. He's one of them, right? But we are. And we start realizing that, well, when one scumbag relates to another scumbag, we better both dealt with our scum, right? We have to deal with our stuff, or the net won't go out perfectly, right? And if somehow we haven't dealt with the holes in our lives, you can cast that net out as perfectly as you want, but where are the fish going to go when they get in the net? Where are they going to go? Through the holes. And if you're the net, and I'm the net that God is casting out into this world, there are people out there in the world that are watching you, that know you're a Christian. They're watching how you live. They're watching what you say. They're watching how you relate to them. They're watching whether you love them unconditionally, whether you love them with the love of God, or you love them with your love. So for how many of you is it easy to love your enemies? How many of you is it hard to love your enemies? Doesn't Jesus tell us that? What does he say? Love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. I can't do that. Jesus does that. But where does Jesus live? Where does he live? In me. In you. And so when we talk about this fruit of the Spirit, right? We're talking about the fact that the very Jesus who came and lived on this earth said this in John 14. It's not on the slides. He said to the apostles, the Holy Spirit that has been with you will be where? In you. And he said this in John 17:21. Father, just as you are in me, may I be in them. May I be in them. Jesus Christ did not leave you as an orphan. He did not leave you on your own. He didn't ask you to live this Christian life on your own. He has given you the very power and person of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you and wants to live through you and wants to love your enemies. I've been praying about this. I'm not sure I want to say it, but I think I do. I do. How many of you saw the video before the sermon? Did you see the video before the sermon? Did you see? Did you understand? We need to have a lot more compassion than we do for the people that are in our country who don't speak our language, who maybe don't love our God. They don't know him. She found him. She hasn't lost her accent, has she? No. And I was watching and I said, Lord, help us to stop hating the people that have come into our country. Somebody opened the border for them. They didn't do. They came in because we opened the border for them. And you're mad at them for what we did. I'm sorry, I need to get on this, but I've just got to tell you, I think we need to have more compassion than we have for broken people who've come into our country not knowing that something was going to turn around on them, and now all of a sudden a lot of them are going to be exported back out of the country, and we just have to have the love of God in us and pray that they'll come to know Jesus Christ just because they come into our world. We need to love our enemies. We need to love those who don't speak our language and love those who don't. They don't look like us. They don't sound like us. All right, done. I prayed. Therefore, confess your sins what? To what? Oh. And pray for? So that you may be healed. So I'm not in this alone, am I? Am I? I need you to pray for me. And I need to pray for you. Because we all need to be healed, don't we? Don't we? And then he goes on and says in Ephesians 4, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving what? Forgiving who? Now, he's talking about the body of Christ here. He's talking about the net. He's not talking about forgiving enemies. He's not talking about people out there. He's talking about forgiving one another. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that has ever stepped on your toes. Anybody in this room has ever disappointed you. Anybody in this room has failed to call you when your loved one was sick or hurting. It's somebody in this room that you've sort of held them accountable. Forgive one another. Forgive each other as Christ, in Christ God forgave you. So, for he himself is our peace. He's made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier of the dividing wall of hostility. Now, this is not talking about the net. This is talking about the catch in the net. This is about who you catch in the net. We're supposed to... The two groups, by the way, these were Gentiles and Jews in Ephesians. I mean, they were like Samaritans and Jews. Did you hear the sermon this morning? By the way, just a little aside. Do you know that woman had five husbands, right? Do you know how divorce happened in that day and age? Do you know how it happened? The man said, divorce, divorce, divorced. And she had nothing. She did not have any rights. She didn't have any money. She didn't have anything. Five men had done that to her. Well, maybe there was a reason. Who knows? Like Tim said, we don't know, do we? But we're so ready. Oh, she's had five husbands. We have no idea, do we? And we have to be ready to break down the barrier of hostility between us and judging other people when we see things like that, don't we? Don't we? You're never going to invite me back. So... From him, the whole body... Joined and what? By what? Every supporting ligament. And grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now you need to understand something. The body of Christ works when the joints are good and the parts are not broken. Now, I wonder, how many of you have arthritis? Oh. How many of you have a hard time opening jars, right? Don't you? Now, how many of you have a broken bone in your hand? Oh, it's not the bone in your hand that's broken. What's broken? What's hurting? The joint, right? So what's he saying? He said, we need to be held together by every supporting ligament and joint. So God wants joints in the body. And if they're not healthy, the body's not healthy. And then he says, and by every part doing its own, God has called you, God has gifted you by his Holy Spirit. And he's gifted you to do your part in the body of Christ. That's why you are the ministers in the gospel, in the body of Christ. You are the ministry that God is exerting out there in the world. So you do your work, right? But if the joints in the body of Christ aren't healthy, we're not going to do the work well. So I just stopped for a second. Is there anybody? Now this is going to be, you know, I keep messing, I'm sorry. But curl up your toes. Is there anybody in the body of Christ that you are alienated from? Is there anybody in the body of Christ that you are divided from? Is there anybody in the body of Christ that you are disappointed with or angry with or separated from? In this body, maybe in this room, but in this body. If there is, get that joint together. Get rid of the inflammation between the joints. You know why your joint doesn't work? It's inflamed, right? That's why you can't open jars. Your joints are inflamed. Well, when we're inflamed and we're inflamed with one another and the joint isn't working, all of a sudden now we're not working. The body of Christ is not working the way God intended it to work. And so he wants every ligament, every joint, and every part to do its work. So now God says, okay, I know how broken you are. I know your inward brokenness. I know your brokenness with me. Now I know your brokenness with others. And so what does he give us? What are the three things he gives us? Let's read them. Patience, kindness, goodness. Those are the outward fruit. God has given you the downward fruit, the love of God, the joy of the Lord, and peace of Christ. He's given you the inward fruit, hasn't he? Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But he's given you outward fruit. He's given you... How many of you find yourself impatient? How many of you find sometimes it's hard to be kind to someone? How many of you find that sometimes you're not very good? And the people are watching, you're not... But he's given you his goodness. He's given you his kindness. He's given you his patience. He's given you himself. And he wants you to know that. And he wants you to be passionately for that. But he didn't leave you as an orphan. He didn't leave you alone. He gave you his spirit and he gave you himself. And he lives in you and he wants to live through you. So, then they cast their nets into the sea. He is casting us into the world. We're the net, and he's taking that net, and he's going to cast it into the sea today. You're going to leave. I think you're going to leave, right? Do you know how many hours you're going to have spent here this morning? Probably 3, maybe 4. Let's just say 4 hours, all right? How many hours do you have left in your week? 164. 4 hours here, 164 hours out there. Why did you come here? To get cast out there. The only reason you come is to leave. Do you realize that? The only reason you come to church is to go. Sovereignly. God sends you. God cast you out into that world. He wants your life to touch others' lives. He wants your life to make a difference in other people's lives. He wants your life to be that like that woman at Auburn University who got a vision for God. I pray we get a vision for this city, everyone. We don't just have a little thing up, light and life for the city. You are the life and light. Did you hear that? You are the life and light of the city. It's not something we believe. It's something we are, and it's something we do. And we leave this place as his net cast out into the world, taking the healing, restoring, loving salvation and person of Jesus Christ into our world right where we have been cast. Right where you are. As Dick Halverson would say on the end of the service, every Sunday morning, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sovereignly placed you there to be his presence, his power, his love. Every Sunday morning I heard that. Do you wonder why I'm so passionate about it? It's sunk down into my soul. And I can remember, I was in high school, and I had 3 guys in my high school, a football team. I'd go to the games. I wasn't a football player, but I knew them. And I knew that they would go down, we lived in Wheaton, Maryland, and they would go down into Washington, D.C. to get drunk. And I prayed. And I prayed. And so I went to them and I said, hey, let me drive you down. They're going to go anyway. So I drove them down. In my dad's car. And one of them threw up my dad's back seat. I did that the whole football season. I would go in and I would have a Coke. And they would get toasted. And one by one by one, they stopped drinking when we went down. And one by one by one, they came to Fourth Presbyterian Church with me. Why? Because I love them. Kippy Frace, Jeff Green, Bob Bull, all three came to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because God threw this net into their lives. And instead of judging them for being drinking and going downtown, I said, oh no, I can make a difference in their life because God put me in their lives. And by the way, I had to drive them to Young Life Club. That's where they came to Christ. I would drive them to Young Life Club. In fact, I would drive one group to Young Life Club and drop them off. tell them you have to get your way home. I would drive a second group to Young Life and drop them off, say you have to find your way home. And I'd take the third group and I'd take them home. Do you know what they put in my yearbook? What did they want Pat to be remembered as? A taxi driver. That's really, it says it right there, a taxi driver. Why? Because you're the net. I'm the net that God has sent out into that world to love that world, broken as it is, right where you are, with the love of Jesus Christ. He's casting us in the world, restoring the world's broken relationship with God. And as you sent me into the world, what does Jesus say? I am sending you into the world. Just as God Father sent him into the world. By the way, have you ever thought about that passage in John? He said, I have done works, right? You will do greater works than me. Did that ever confuse you? Ever thought so? How are we going to do greater works than him, right? How many of you are going to be sent today? How many of you are going to be sent out of here today? Sent by God, out of this room, into the world. How many? Raise your hands. Own it. Wherever you are, he is. When he was on this earth, he could only be in one place at one time, geographically, and could love one Samaritan woman, could one love one leper, could one love one blind man. Everywhere you go, he goes. Everywhere you are, he is. That's how he does greater things. Because now he's in billions of places all over the world. Because wherever you are, he is. And you're in the net, and I'm the net that he sends into the world. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in what? And. Okay, that's a nice verse, isn't it? That's one of those nice verses. Until you do this. Until you realize he's received power by his Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in our Jerusalem, Colorado Springs. In our Judea, the United States of America. In, oh my, did your computer die? My computer died. Is this my computer or yours? I don't know. I can tell you. Let me get through my, I can go down. I think I can find it. Boop. Oh gosh, just a second. Help you. Okay. Now I have no internet. I don't need internet. Did I do something? Oh well, where'd it go? I'm getting there, buddy. Here we come. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Here's what he says. He has sent us into... That's not it. He sent us into our Jerusalem, Colorado Springs, our Judea, United States of America, our Samaria. Now think about it. These are three concentric circles, right? Jerusalem, Judea. Oh, Samaria is not a concentric circle. Samaria is an area within the circle. It's the place where Jews would never go. It's where Jews would go around Samaria. If they had to go somewhere else in Israel, they didn't want to touch the Samaritans, didn't want to go there. So they would bypass Samaria. And Jesus said, you're going to be my witness in Samaria. Could it be the woman that was in the video? Could it be somebody in this city? You know, I just thank the Lord for Crossfire Ministries who minister to thousands of families. And a lot of them don't speak our language, do they? No, they don't. We love them. John's ministry that God has called him to loves them. Unconditionally. Our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the earth. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so I want to end with this, Matthew 4:19. I want you to hear this, because these are out of the lips of Jesus. I will make you fishers of people. Fishers of men and women. I will make you my net that I am casting into the world to fish for men and women. And I'm praying, I just prayed this morning as Tim ended that service. He talked about a baptism that's coming, didn't he? So what if one of your neighbors comes to Jesus? We had a couple that came, we were in a church in Philadelphia, and a couple was driving down the hill past our church. And the husband said to the wife, I think we should go there today. Now you've got to realize, they've never set foot in a church, they're both pagans. They didn't know Jesus, they didn't want to have anything to, but we're supposed to go there. So they came. And then they came again. And then they came again. And then I had an inquirers class. They wanted to join the church. So we had 35 people in the inquirers class, but there were they, the two of them in the inquirers class. And I talked about an 18-inch migration. I talked about the fact that we Presbyterians like to live in our head and Jesus lives in our hearts. And we have to make an 18-inch migration or we don't know Jesus. You don't know him. You know about him, right? You don't know him, but we get it back. Whoop! There it went. Hey! Okay. Think about this for just a moment. I ask them all to bow their heads. Ask everybody in the class to start praying. If you know Jesus, pray for this class. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to raise your head. I want our eyes to meet. If you've just given your life to Jesus Christ, if you just made that 18-inch migration, I want you to lift your head and I'll say amen. There it is right there. Right? We had 5 people of the 35 people in the class raise their heads. And they raised their heads. And after the class, he came up to me and he said, "Now, I heard something about a thing called baptism. What's that?" I said, "Well, when you come to Jesus Christ as an outward expression of the inward work of grace, you're baptized." "I want that." Okay? So he and his wife, we did this a different way. We put a kneeler on the chancel. We invited the two of them up on the kneeler. And we had the other 30 in the inquirers class surround them. And we baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they changed the church. Because they were pagans. And they came in their church. They didn't know all of our lingo. They didn't know all the things they're supposed to do. They just came to Jesus. And then they came to the net. And they became a part of the net. And God cast them out into the world. And by the way, they had a lot of pagan friends who they knew and started loving and praying for. So I wrote this down from the sermon and I wanted to end with this. Jesus often puts his finger on our hurt, doesn't he? He does, doesn't he? But he doesn't do us to judge us. He doesn't do us to hurt us. He does it to heal us. And that's the kind of finger you need to put on your enemies, your neighbors. You need to put your finger on their hurt. You need to identify their hurt and love them. Love their hurt to healing. Because that world out there doesn't know Jesus. That world has no idea who he is. They've heard all kinds of things about it, right? And they blame the church for a lot of things. But you're the church. I'm the church. Don't let the world blame you. Let the world praise you for being who God is, being Christ, where God has planted you. And so I call you to be the net. I call you to be the katartismos that God is cleaning, God is mending, God is folding, and God is casting into the world. And when you understand that and when you buy that, you'll start understanding that Jesus Christ really meant it. You will do greater things than I have done. Because wherever you go, Jesus goes. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you said, I'm not done yet. In fact, I'm just beginning my work. I'm beginning my work as the church. My bride, the church. Our husband is Jesus. We are the bride. May we be faithful to our husband, Jesus Christ. And may we be sharing with the world about our husband, Jesus Christ, with everyone we meet, everywhere we go. And we'll all give you the thanks. And again, remember that person in front of us, behind us, and our right and our left all week, and pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.